feet are planted on higher ground, and glory to God, I'm homeward bound. He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Oh, glory to God, He set me free. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. Not of the world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying to, and glory to God I'm going through. He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus. Oh, glory to God, He set me free. He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, you see. Oh, glory to God, He set me free. He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. For glory to God, He set me free.
Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think Ms. Jen has an announcement real quick, and then say my.
Hey, ladies, on April the 19th, we're going to get together. We can leave the church maybe about 5:30, and we will go to Harrison First Baptist for a ladies' conference. Andrea Lennon will be speaking. I believe she's speaking about Abraham and our faith walk and our faith journey. So come join us for that evening.
A few more announcements here. Informed Choices has asked us if anyone has any baby bottles still, if you'd please bring those back and we can get those to them. Also today, Brother Wade Edwards will be speaking this morning. April 12th through the 13th is the DNOW conference at First Baptist Church in Harrison. April 14th, Brother Wade Edwards will be speaking in the morning service with a time for sharing during the evening service. And then followed by that, we'll be having a potluck dinner following that morning service. I think that's all the announcements. Will y'all pray with me?
We got to pray, okay?
God, I pray for Brother Wade. God, I pray you just give us ears to hear his message this morning and what you have for him. God, I pray, thank you for all the blessings you give us. And thank you for each day we get. God, I pray you watch and protect us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Joel. This is our first Sunday in the month of April, and as such, we need to recognize birthdays and anniversaries. So if you're celebrating a birthday in the month of April, please come forward. All right. All right. You ready? Let's sing. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. We love you, we do. We love you, we do. We love you, God bless you. We love you, we do. Happy birthday. Staying up, Mike. Any anniversaries in the month of April? All right, is that all? Okay, let's see. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. God bless you. 63. Congratulations. Congratulations. Let's stand together.
Forevermore, you have done great things.
sing. Hallelujah.
Your name is the highest. Your name is the
above your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy. Hear your people sing, holy, to the King of Kings, holy, you will always be, holy, holy forever, you will always be, holy. Holy forever.
Amen. You may be seated. If our men would start making their way forward for the offering at this time. If you're visiting for the first time this morning, there's a blue envelope in the pew in front of you that will help us to get to know you better if you would fill that out and put it in the plate as it passes by. There's a box there for you to check if you'd like a visit, too. So, welcome to Osage.
Would you pray with me? Our Father, we thank you that we have another opportunity to be in your house of worship and to worship you. We pray your blessing on this offering that's about to be taken, that each family will be blessed. And Lord, we pray for Brother Wade as he brings a message to us, that you would give him a special anointing. We pray your blessing on us that we might receive this message and be better servants to you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
children can be dismissed for children's church at this time. Brother Wade, we're excited. We've been praying for you, and I hope you feel at home and feel relaxed, because we're just a country church that it's a wonderful place to be here. So I want to make sure that you know you're just with home folk here, okay? So Wade has been a minister for how long now? All right, 24 years, give or take. And now working at FedEx as a manager there? Oh, really? Interesting. So we've pretty much got the 10,000-foot view of you and your family, so we'll expect you to fill in the blanks as you feel the need to, okay? We're excited. Come and share with us.
Well, good morning, everybody. And the clarification there is I average 18 months, and then I change roles, so I'm in a different role. So, yeah, I move around a little bit. So, anyway, I walked in earlier, and I was pretty sure this was a Southern Baptist church because everybody was in the back there. But then I got confused when I stole Kim's seat up here. And when you visit a Southern Baptist church, you're supposed to sit up front so you don't steal anybody's seat. And that didn't work. I don't know what. So anyway, it is good to be here. And we got to come over and meet a few people on Wednesday night. And I was supposed to have a test, Brent said, if I remembered the names. And I was doing fairly good this morning until I got to the fifth person, I think, and I was glad to see the cheat sheet. So maybe if I can read, I can cheat there this morning. So, but it is good to be here, and I'm excited about being here, and I appreciate y'all inviting me to come over. So, I do have part of the family with me, so. As I think you guys have had the introduction and a lot of written information about me already, and I see on the back of the bulletin, so I don't know how much introduction I need to do for the family, but I do have Brandy with me, my wife of 27 years. We're 27. We're working on 28, but it's not till December, so I don't think we can say we're almost there yet. But then I've got Winchester and Thompson both with us this morning, and then the older boys are married, and one is in Phenix City, Alabama, as he serves in Fort Benning down there, and then the Remington, that's Colt, and then Remington lives in Harrison, and I'm sure they're going to their church this morning. So anyway, that's probably all you want to hear about me. So we'll get on this morning with the message. But before we jump into the message, I did see something odd the other day. I was going into Walmart, and I spotted an albino Dalmatian. I figured it was the least I could do for him, you know. They only get worse, so. All right. They finally got it back there. Did y'all notice you guys got it fairly quick, and then they finally got it, and then you could tell when they explained it to the other people. And anyway, so all right. Well, we will be in Matthew chapter 25 this morning, and we're gonna read a parable, and I want to look at this parable today. And we know it is the parable of the 10 virgins this morning. And as we read the scripture here, if you all would stand with me, and I may have to turn around if my eyes aren't, maybe I can see that far. It says, at that time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. And the foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. And the wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. And the bridegroom was long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. And at midnight the cry rang out, and here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. And then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived, and the virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I don't know you. All right, and we'll get to that one, I believe, that next slide later. So I appreciate you all be seated. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer before we get started this morning. So, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do, again, thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. And we just thank you for the blessings that you poured out on us, each one, as we talked about this morning in our class. And Lord, we just pray that you would just help us to recognize those, to how we can use those to meet other people. Lord, I pray that you'd be with our with the word this morning, and just open our hearts and minds to what you would have us get this morning. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see here that we have the ten virgins. Now, you know, we could label those perhaps the ten church members or the ten believers. It may not just be the ten virgins, but that's how we see it here. And they have a job that they have. They're there, and they're there for this purpose, and they're all dressed the same way. They all look the same way, and they're all waiting on the groom to come for the banquet. Now, this being a parable, you know, there can be some debate over what each thing means, but we have these, let's just call them these believers, or, well, these ten virgins, and like I said, we might be able to call them the church members or whatever we want to call them there. But they're all dressed the same way, they're all serving the same purpose, and they're standing there waiting for the banquet, the bridegroom to come for the banquet. Now, the bridegroom, obviously, is going to be Christ coming, and the banquet is going to be for the marriage between the bride and the groom, and we can look at that as heaven and later on, right? So as we look at this morning, just thinking on that, I want to kind of define my thought process on what we're looking at this morning so you know as we're going through this what I'm talking about. So they all seem to have the same purity. They're all wearing the same gowns. They're all holding their lamps. They all look the same. Actually, the only thing that we see different from the scripture is some of them is basically the wisdom of these ten virgins that are there. We don't see anything different with the way, it doesn't say anything that one is more educated than another, one is more experienced than the other, one is more emotional than the other. We don't see any of that. All we see is that we have five wise ones and five foolish ones. So we see the wisdom being the difference between these ten virgins. You know, they were there and they were burning the lamps. And what were they burning the lamps for? Right? What do we burn lamps for? We do it to light something, right? To light the way, generally, to show something. So they're there to light up the path because they're going to be celebrating and showing the way and lighting up as the bridegroom comes for the banquet. You know, as believers, we're supposed to be providing light in the darkness, right? So as we, as church members, if you will, we should be lighting the way into the darkness to those around us. We should be that light that draws people so that they see us and then they can see. You know, I thought about something interesting the other day. We were talking, and you know, if you talk to a heating and cooling guy, he'll tell you there's no such thing as cold. There's just the absence of heat. So, that, you know, they remove the heat and it leaves the cold. And there's no real definition for cold, for what cold is. It's only how we experience something there's really no definition of cold. We measure heat. We don't measure cold. You know, there's no such thing as darkness. There's just the absence of light, or the absence of light. So if you have one little match in this room, you're going to be driving away the darkness with that light. The darkness will not overcome. Regardless of how much darkness there is, the light's always going to show up in the darkness, because we measure how light things are. We measure in lumens. We don't measure the darkness. You know, we was having a conversation about nothingness, you know, and we don't really measure nothingness. Nothingness is the absence of something, right? So as we look at this, we are to be a light into the darkness. You know, without the light, there is darkness, but the darkness never overcomes the light. So as these virgins were standing there to light the way, it doesn't matter how dark it is, as we're sharing the gospel out to the community, as we're living the gospel, nothing is going to overcome that for us. And I believe that's what we see here with the fire is representative of us sharing the gospel, of us having the truth. And we see that these, they're waiting there, like I say, for the Lord to come back. And we're to provide that light to the darkness so that the world knows that he's coming back. And then in verses 3 through 5 that we read, we see that the fools, they also took the lamps, and they were dressed just like the wise virgins. Right? You couldn't tell any difference. They looked the same. And they took their lamps, but the wise ones, they had oil in their jars, right? I like the way it says they had oils in their vessel. Right? They had extra oil, because what if the bridegroom tarries? We need that extra oil in our vessels. And I think the gospel, like I say, you look at this oil, and the oil is the gospel, but the difference is where it is. You see, they all had it on the outside. They all had it in their lamps. They all had it available, and they could all share it. But five of them had it in their vessel. Five of it had it, as we might say, in their heart. You know, these wise ones, they took the extra. Now, and I'm not trying to spiritualize this too much, but I think it's representative of it. And you know, the question I have here is, do you have the gospel in your vessel? You know, it's easy for us to know the gospel if we come to church and we can go through Sunday school and we can sit through class and we might come to Awana's and learn scripture and be able to quote scripture. And you might know all about the Bible. You might know all about Jesus' life. You might be able to tell all kind of historical facts. And that's all the gospel on the outside, right? But it doesn't really matter if it's not in the vessel. If you haven't received it, you know, the scripture says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Right? It must be in the vessel. So we see that these five did not have the oil there. You know, the Holy Spirit come in Acts 2, right? The Holy Spirit came and indwelled the believers. So as a believer, if we're a believer, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling in our vessel. And it's going to change the way we see things. It's going to change the way we read the Scripture. It's going to change the way we see our community and our family members and those that we love and even those that we haven't met yet. It's going to change the way our whole perspective. You know, like I said, I think a lot of people can have the gospel on the outside, but it never gets in their vessel. The bridegroom, though, he took a long time in coming, and they all fell asleep. Now, I think we're all, unless the Lord comes back before so, we're all going to fall asleep. Amen? You know, it's all going to happen to us. We're all going to have that time that we're no longer shining our light in this world, and we're all going to fall asleep. Now, from this context, I want to look at it two ways. I think that, you know, he took a long time coming and they fell asleep, and we don't see any difference up until here. But the question I have before I get on to the other point I was jumping ahead on is the church asleep today? Or are we sleeping? And when I say the church, I mean the church, not one location. You know, are we sleeping today? Are we sharing the light as we're supposed to? Or are we letting the darkness, remember, the darkness is what happens when there's the absence of light. So if the church is sharing the light, there should be less darkness. Amen? So are we falling asleep? You know, we're seeing things. You see churches that close. You see denominations that are leaving their foundations. You see all this chaos happening in the world. And it makes us ask the question, are we shedding the light where we're supposed to and the way we're supposed to be sharing it? Excuse me. You know, why is the church falling asleep if it is? Why do we fall asleep from our purpose? And I was thinking about that, and I fall asleep. There's two things that happen to make me fall asleep. One, I get pretty comfortable. I get pretty cozy. I get pretty comfortable, and I'll fall asleep. And the other times I fall asleep, hopefully not behind the wheel, is whenever I'm exhausted and when I'm tired, right? Now, you guys may fall asleep at other times, and if you fall asleep every time you sit down, that's because you're exhausted, amen? You know, if you fall asleep because you're behind the wheel, that's because you're exhausted too. And that's a story for another time. I may have shared that with somebody the other night, but that's the times I fall asleep, is if I'm comfortable or if I'm too tired. I get too tired whenever I'm doing everything in my strength and in my power and my way, right? But I'm not relying upon the Holy Spirit to guide me. Maybe I'm trying to do it my way instead of saying, God, how would you have me to do this? So there's, you know, we sleep sometimes whenever our purpose is to share the light and the darkness. We're to share the gospel with those around us. But we're also to disciple those who come and receive the gospel. And then we're also to be obedient. You know, we need to be obedient to the gospel. I believe it's John 14:50 says, if you love me, you will obey my commands, right? And we have to remember that to stay awake, if you will, to be awake and be serving our purpose, we need to be doing at least those things. But they fell asleep, and like I said, I'm not trying to spiritualize too much here, but they fell asleep. I believe we'll all fall asleep in this world, and we see that in verses 6 through 9 there, it says at midnight, the cry rang out. Now, I know they took different days, the start and end of the day was different for them, but I think at midnight, there's a new day coming, right? You know, so we all fall asleep, and then the new day comes, and they awoke, and they discovered, as they went to trim their lamps, they discovered that there was five of them that didn't have the oil. There was five of them that was sharing the light. There was five of them that had the same clothes on. They looked the same, but they didn't have any oil. And they said, quick, give us some of your oil. All right, share your oil with me. And the wise one said, but if we do that, we may not have enough oil. Now, we could say that's not very nice of them, right? They could share their oil. We could say that, but they can't give their oil up. You know, I can't give you salvation. I can't give you the gospel. I can't give you the Holy Spirit. And you can't give it to anybody else. No matter how much you want to, you cannot put that on anyone else. But what did they say? They said, we can, you need to go to the people that sell the oil. You know, we might call it, you need to go to the getting place, right? You need to go get it where it's available. Now, I can tell you where to go get it. I can't give it to you because I can only receive mine. I can't make you take it either. And they said, you got to go and get it from those that sell the oil. Now, we know that the ones that sell the oil, I mean, I can share the gospel with you, right? I can tell you where to go. I can tell you that you only receive salvation from Christ, but I can't give it to you. So they said, okay, and they run off, right? And they go to get it. They go to get it from those that sell it, but it's midnight. And we see that when they return, the bridegroom had already come, right? They'd already, the ones that were there that had the oil, they went in, the doors was closed, and we see that they show back up. But what we don't see is it never says they went and found the oil. It says they showed back up. And they knocked on the door and they said, hey, we're back, right? We're back. We want in. We were waiting on the banquet. We want in. And what did the groom say to them? He said, sorry, but I never knew you. I may have paraphrased that just a little bit. Because the doors were shut. And when they returned, it was too late. See, because they didn't have the gospel in their heart. They hadn't received it. They might have been able to share it. They might have even knew it. They heard it. They were around it. They were in the light of it. But they never received it into their vessel. Matthew 7, 21 and 23 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles, then I will tell you plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Those that say, I've prophesied in your name, I've told people about you, I've told who you are, I've prophesied that you were coming back someday even. Those that cast out demons, I've been doing your work. I've been going around and doing. I've even, it says, perform miracles. And I would say if we saw those folks, we would all say those folks are getting in, right? We would say those folks, they're doing all that, you know. And I'm not going to look at somebody and say whether you're getting into heaven or not, amen? You know, over in few verses before that, it tells me that I don't know. It tells me that I can't judge your salvation. You know, I'll take you at your word. You tell me because you're the only one that knows where you're at. You're the only one that knows if there's the Holy Spirit in your vessel. If you've confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart. You know, and I look at this parable. And I don't think this parable is to make people doubt whether they have salvation, but I think it's to make them sure that they have salvation. You know, if we fell asleep today, If tomorrow doesn't happen, where are we? Where would we spend the rest of our lives? You know, I've got I had one of those moments that come to me here a few months back, and I was out driving the T-post and had my music in, listening to some music and driving the T-post, minding my own business, and the next thing I knew, I thought I'd been shot, and I was stumbling around and couldn't say anything. I think I screamed like a little girl as I fell to the ground. I think one of the boys saying, yeah, that's all they heard, right? And then I started yelling, and I didn't know what had happened. But I realized as I was falling that I'd hit myself with that T-post driver, which seems to be fairly common. And I've got proof, too, if you want to see it. But I got up to the house, and I told Brandy, I said, hey, I told her a bunch of things, but eventually I got in the vehicle, and I just said, drive really fast. And then she was, and I said, no, it goes faster than this, right? So as I'm going to town with my bath towel on my head, and I'd taken my shirt off, and I had no shirt on, and I had blood all over me, and I had the bath towel on my head going to the ER, and I was a little dizzy, and I had a realization. I had a real realization that I may not make it to the hospital. My doctor told me that, you know, I probably should quit hitting myself on the head, and also said that I probably wasn't very far from doing it too hard, right? And all I was doing was out building a little fence. And you never know, but I had a realization while we're going down the road in that van. I said, Lord, I guess if this is today, it's as good as any. Because I'm always going to miss a graduation, a wedding, whether it be the grandkids or the kids or the great-great-grandkids, there's always going to be a birthday party. There's always going to be something that's going on that I'm going to miss when that time comes. So if it's today, okay. It's good enough. And now I have a pair of boots that I have, and if you look at my pair of boots, oh, spoiler alert, I didn't die. But if you look at that pair of boots, I tell everybody those boots, they have specks on them, and it's the blood of my worst enemy. Because no one's about to kill me as many times as I have, amen? You know, so, you know. But it could happen just like that. It just takes a moment. And you may not even see it coming. Matthew 25:13 says, therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. He may return or we may move on. We don't know when it's going to happen, but we're to keep watch. And what does that mean, to keep watch? It means to be wise. It means to be like the five wise. Be prepared. Have the gospel in your vessel. Don't just have it on the outside. Believe it. Know what's in your vessel. Know where you'll end up if that time comes. You know, there's a lot of craziness going on about tomorrow. And I'll just leave that at that, I guess. But, you know, maybe the end of the world is upon us for various reasons, and maybe we're going to go on. And it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter if the world ends tomorrow or if the world ends 1,000 years from now. The only thing that really, truly matters is what you believe, and not what you believe about the world ending either. Amen? It's, do you have faith in Christ? You know, we're looking at unsurety and things, like I said, but there is one thing that is for sure, and that is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning. I'm going to ask the song leader to come. Maybe you're here this morning and you can't say, hey, if if I was out building fence and it didn't go well, that I would be here tomorrow. Or if whatever happens on the way home, that I know where I'm going. Or maybe you do know where you're going and that's not where you want to be headed. I'm going to ask you to come up. We'll pray about it this morning. We'll talk about it. But if you can't say for certainty that I've confessed with my mouth and I believed in my heart that Jesus is Lord, I'm going to ask you to come up and we'll talk about it this morning. What did we sing?
Oh, I surrender all. Huh? Let's stand together. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live.
Tonight, 6 o'clock, more word from God and blessings from our song leader. Bow with me. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you for this day. Thank you for this word that we have received. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we can apply it to our lives and be unwise in our decisions, Lord. Pray that you go with us as we go on our separate ways. I just pray that you bring us back. These things I say in Jesus' name. Amen.